If you would please join me once again in the Psalms, picking out select Psalms as we make our way through, Psalms of encouragement. And so I hope this is encouraging and teaching for us here today. Psalm 57, hear the inerrant, infallible, holy, inspired word of our living God. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge, till the storms of destruction pass by. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He will put to shame him who tramples on me. God will send out his steadfast love and his faithfulness. My soul is in the midst of the lions. I lie down amid fiery beasts, the children of man whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongue are sharp swords. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They set a net for my steps. My soul was bowed down. They dug a pit in my way, but they have fallen into it themselves. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Awake, my glory. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations, for your steadfast love is great to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. I do pray the Lord would add his blessing to the reading of his most holy word. I entitled this sermon, Singing in the Dark. Missionary Elizabeth Elliot. Some of you may know her and her story, but she lost her first husband, Jim Elliot, in 1956 when he and four other men were murdered when they went into the jungles of South America to share the gospel with the hostile Guarani Indians in Ecuador. However, she and her daughter Valerie born in 1955, Valerie, by the way, is the wife of an ARP minister and was a speaker at our Daughters of the King several years back. Well, Elizabeth and her daughter Valerie, some years later, went back into that jungle in Ecuador where her husband was killed, and were able to share our Lord's message with a tribe, as I said, had killed her husband and four other men. However, God was at work. Many members of the tribe repented and accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and accepted Elizabeth and Valerie into their midst. It shows the wonderful power of a gospel message. Elizabeth is reportedly to have said, "There is nothing worth living for unless it's worth dying for." Her husband died for the gospel, and she lived for it. Some years later, Elizabeth remarried, yet lost her second husband to cancer. Tragedy upon tragedy. However, in an address during a conference in 1976, she told of watching a shepherd and his dog, I believe they're in Wales. The dog would herd the sheep up a ramp and into a tank of antiseptic to bathe them and protect them from the parasites. And as soon as the sheep would try to make their way out of the tank, the shepherd would grab the sheep, throw them back in, dunk them and hold them under for a few seconds, and then let them go. Elizabeth, curiously watching this event, asked the man's wife if the sheep understood what was happening. She said, "They don't have a clue, but it's what they need." Following this illustration, Miss Elliot said, "I've had some experiences in my life that have made me feel very sympathetic to those sheep." She continued, "After the passing of two husbands, I couldn't figure out any reason for the treatment I was getting from the shepherd I loved and trusted. And he still hasn't given me any hint of why. Elizabeth Elliot passed away in 2015. In your Christian life, you've been there. Maybe not to the degree of Elizabeth Elliot, but maybe so. The shepherd you trust threw you into a circumstance that was very difficult, and you don't have a clue as to why. We were talking after church a couple of weeks ago that little Lathan McElfrish is 6 years old, and every year of his life, except for one, I think, someone from his extended family has passed away. Now, you might think that someone that young really wouldn't be affected to a degree. But if you remember in that service, they were sitting right here, and I asked them what they were afraid of. And what was Lathan's answer? He was afraid of losing someone else in his family. Circumstances, quite unpleasant, which the Lord has ordained and allowed. Others of us have been in challenging circumstances over the years as well. Lost loved ones, children, spouses, challenging situation. David knew of these extreme circumstances, and this is exactly what David is writing about in Psalm 57. When he was a teenager, David had been appointed king to replace the disobedient King Saul. But then when he defeated the giant Goliath, he was thrust into that national fame. And that did not sit well with King Saul. King Saul went into a jealous rage and sent David running for his life. He spent the better part of his 20s running from King Saul and his repeated attempts to try to kill him. In this psalm, David is in hiding. Yet in his mind, he is writing a praise song to his God. David is singing in the dark. Not the physical darkness of the cave, but the physical darkness knowing that there is someone right out there wanting to kill him. David could have thought to himself easily, Lord, you have anointed me king, and now I'm hiding in a cave. I'm singing because I know you and I know your eternal decrees and your wisdom, but Lord? However, while he could have said that, he did not. Psalm 57 shows us that David understood the deeper things of God. He may not have realized why God had him in this situation, why he was allowing him to be in this place, but he understood God and understood the suffering of being one of God's children. David understood, and this is a point for us that we must understand. David understood that in his situation, being threatened and being killed, to ask why, that's asking the wrong question. Because if you ask why, then what you're doing is questioning God's sovereign decrees. The proper question to ask is, not why me, but what do you have for me in this place you have me? Because it's not by accident. The passing of my daughter was not an accident. The passing of your son was not an accident. The passing of your spouse was not an accident. Those are the decrees of God. But like Miss Elliot, we may ask the question, we understand God's sovereignty, but we don't understand all that's around. What do you have for me, Lord, in this place? And how can I use this to bring you glory? Because you see, that's what God wants, is the glory that he deserves and who he is. That's the theme of Psalm 57. And notice that this psalm, while he's writing of being afraid and asking for mercy, he breaks out into worship. Look at verse 5. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Verse 11, Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. So while he's in this challenging position, he understands God has got him there, and so he begins to worship. I remember a lady who the day after her daughter died in an accident went to the very spot it occurred. Medical debris was still on the ground. She dropped to her knees. Both hands shot up into the air, and she began praising God to the top of her lungs. Praised him simply for who he was and his wisdom. Praised him for taking her daughter quickly. She didn't suffer. And also praised him that he left her daughter lying in a field of wildflowers, because the flowers meant so much to the two of them. Singing in the dark. God's ways are not our ways. And we may question the dark times, but we are to praise him in those times for who he is. God's glory should be our aim at all times, but especially in our times of trial, because in those times of trial, that's the last thing you want to do. However, but in those times, praising God shows the essence of your character, shows the essence of your teaching and doctrinal understanding of who God is, and reveals that we are indeed the children of the Most High God, and the Holy Spirit is here, and it raises me above my circumstances. In our psalm, David showed us just how to do this, glorifying God by singing in the dark. Now, in this passage here, the word trust is not ever used, but it's all through here. David describes his trust as taking refuge in God. He uses a picture of baby chicks and hiding under their wings. Taking refuge in a shelter shows that you have trust. We are to take refuge in God. We are to entrust ourselves, depending upon him to protect us. Not the physical wall of the cave. That physically protected David. But his protection was more in the God who loved him. Psalm 57 is basically a prayer. A hymn, of course, but this is full of prayer language. Prayer is an acknowledgement to God and to anyone else around, I am a dependent person. I am not self-sufficient. I cannot handle this situation on my own. Only in your strength, Lord, will I make it through this trial. And every one of you, in some way or form or fashion, have been there. Now, saying that I can't handle the situation and saying that I'm a dependent person does not make me a weak person. If you can do this in these times, it makes you a very wise person. And looking to one that you trust means that you see that person, that entity, and here's the point, you see that person, that entity, God, bigger than the concern you're in at the time. David describes his situation somewhat in poetic language. It's as though he's surrounded by lions, by fire-breathing dragons. They're out to get David. He's outnumbered. They've even set a net for him. He's trapped. But right in the midst of this, as I've said, stating his plea for help, you hit verse 5. Now, verse 5 seems totally out of place here, because he's praying for God to rescue him, but here he just immediately breaks out into worship, and then he continues asking for help. In the midst of his problem, David realizes that God is bigger than the challenges, that God and his decrees for David is bigger than what Saul has intended. David's still in the cave. Saul is still king, still after David. His circumstances haven't changed, but instead of the self-pitying and complaining, as I've said, David breaks out into singing. And he points out two things here in the time of trial. Our natural response is to complain or to get angry or to get depressed. David had fixed his heart to praise God with the repeated affirmations, show that it is a matter of deliberate choice. And see, here's the wisdom. When you find yourself in those places, it's easy to praise God when the sun's shining. But when those storm clouds come and the dark times come, the wisdom that the Holy Spirit has given you should kick in and say, Lord, I don't understand, but I'm here. Teach me. Show me what I can do to bring you glory. And again, praise is not our natural response. He says, I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises. Because he understood God to be bigger than the situation. And if Saul had gotten to David and took his life, which he didn't, that would have been God's decree. And David would have been fine with that. Because sometimes, as I think I pointed out 3 weeks ago, sometimes God rescues us from our situations by taking us from this earth. We need to praise God even when we don't feel like it. Now, David also wants the nations to know and to hear his praise. In verse 9, he says, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praise among the nation. Even though we're going through extreme difficulty, we want the people around us to see that we are strong Christians. We may be beaten down. We may have lost loved ones. But I am sitting here praising God. As I've said to you a couple of times before, several folks of my peers thought I would get out of the ministry after Marty passed away. How can you continue, Tim? How can you go on? How could I not? I believed in God's wisdom. I believe in his decrees. I believe, as the psalmist teaches us, that her days were numbered. Marley was not supposed to live a day past that date in May. And so the people saw. The people see strength. They see you overcoming because you put your faith in God and you are that testimony. This is what I pray for so many times when you're going through trials. Have that good testimony of faith. Have that good testimony of a strong character and faith. You may be crying your eyes out every 5 minutes. You may be sitting down in the middle of the floor and can't move a muscle. Can't move. But Lord, I love you and I praise you. It's important that you focus your praise on God's love and his faithfulness in a time of trials, because it is precisely these qualities where Satan will say, if God really loved you, he wouldn't have done that. How can God love you when he allows your son to pass away from a horrible disease? That's not love. That's where Satan will come. But that's our concentration, because we know better. We know better. Yes, our Lord's love is great and steadfast, as I pointed out to the boys. And we see that in the completed work of Jesus Christ, who has secured the Christians in the hands of his Father, of our Father. We may not understand the whys, but we understand the who. And the who is God. And his decrees are perfect. His decrees are perfect. Now, I know this is a challenging lesson. Singing in the dark, not something we want to do. When times are hard and the challenges are great, sing praise to our Lord reveals the true essence. It reveals that God is in us. It proves the presence of the Holy Spirit and that we see the glory of God above all of our trials. A challenging lesson indeed. But if we can do this, as the psalmist is pointing out, it proves the maturity that we have gained in our relationship with Jesus. Amen. Amen.